Good afternoon. This is the Pacifica National Finance Committee meeting of the Pacifica National Board. We're meeting this evening as a continuation of our prior meeting and would like to go over, do the roll call, and then move to approval of the agenda. So is Casey here? Okay, Casey's not here. So I will attempt to do a roll call. And if I'm missing some names, please let me know. Okay, Brian Edwards Tigers.
I'm here.
Lonnie Hicks.
Here.
Jane Gatewood.
Here.
Sarusi Baraka. I'm sorry.
Here. Here.
Ambrose Lane.
Here.
Patty Heffley. Not here. Sandy Rawline. Sandra. Okay, not here. Can someone else help me out? Casey McFall, he's not on yet. David Adelson, he's not here yet. Is there anyone else that I'm missing there? Okay, well, thank you very much. So everyone received a copy of the agenda. Again, this is the continuation of last week's meeting. And the agenda is to... We're going to attempt to go over approve the minutes from the prior time. I think most people hadn't had an opportunity to look at them. The main thing that we're trying to do this evening is to go over the draft network budget. And then the other items are the financial impact of motions before the PNB, a financial update, again, on board and meeting expenses. There were a couple of action items I'll just break in. And I think, did everyone get a copy of that information that Lonnie had sent out on the board meeting? There was a package that was sent also on the 14th from Lonnie. And then the last is the CFO report and then new business plan adjourned. So are there any changes, updates, revisions on the agenda?
This is Jane.
Uh-huh. Jane, please.
Before I left our last meeting, there was a motion that we continued to today's meeting. It was proposed by Dave, and it had to do with annual fundraising goal-setting process for LSBs and PNB. And I had volunteered that I would look at that and try to refine the wording so that it was a little more clear for people. But I tried to get a copy of the draft wording, and I never heard back from Dave or Casey. So I would like that to be added to the agenda because we did say we were going to we were going to consider it today.
Okay.
So it was a motion. And okay. If anybody has the draft wording of that you could send out, I would attempt to work on it.
Okay. I don't have that. So in case one, then we can address that then. So where would you like to place that agenda?
Does anybody have the wording that was discussed on last week's meeting?
I don't.
Casey would probably have the closest thing.
Well, yeah. And she hasn't responded, so I'm not sure what's going on. We can put it, because it was continued. I really don't know where it fit in the original discussion. Certainly somewhere after the budget.
Okay. So we can put it as number 4A, and then a financial impact of the other motions is 4B.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Brian here.
Sure, Brian. Hi, Jay.
We also continued a possible bylaw amendment that both Dave and I submitted language for.
Right, and this is what you had sent out. Did everyone get a copy of the proposed bylaws amendment? This was on the number of meetings, board meetings per year. Okay. So, and I think that was also part of the. Well, I'm not sure if it was part of being looking at motions before the PNB.
When was that motion sent out?
I think Brian sent it out on the
11th. So on my response was 10:15 p.m. on our time on the 11th, so it probably came in at 1:15 your time on the 12th.
Okay.
I can read it if people want.
Yeah, it had to do with reducing the number of meetings from 4 to 3, right?
And providing flexibility for. Look, do you want me to read it?
We'll get to that later. We'll get to it later.
Are we just doing the agenda now?
Yes, we are.
Ah, thank you.
Sure. Okay, so what we've added is there was a mention on direct to fundraising that you were going to do the wording on it, Dave, and then Jane was to work with you on it. So
we're gonna
put that as number four. We'll make that four. I have some A's. Four A, capital A, and then four capital B will be the financial impact of motions before the P&B. And then, in fact, we can actually the motion on the proposed bylaws amendment, the number of board meetings per year. We can make that actually four capital B, and then we'll move the financial impact of motions before the P&B as four capital C. Okay. This is meetings per year.
Would you hate me if I ask you to run that one more time? I got a little bit lost.
Yeah.
Number three was that we'll discuss the budget. Number four is currently financial impact of motions before the P&B. Okay, and then I have like four items below there, small A's, A, B, C, D. So since I was going to do 4A as the motion on director fundraising, I just said that's a capital A, so we won't get confused with the other things. And then capital B, four capital B is meetings per year bylaws change.
So
and
will they
then,
precede or succeed the other four, the capital letters?
Precede.
Okay, thank you.
And then C will be the financial impact of motions before the P&B. Okay? And then, so what we're looking at is changes, revisions, updates to the agenda. Sorry, are there any other changes, updates, revisions? Okay. All right. And then we were going to look at the approval of the minutes, but the last time, I believe people had not really looked at the minutes from the prior meeting. So what we'll do is, has everyone had an opportunity to look at those minutes? I think that was the meeting in June. Okay. Well, I don't hear. Well, we'll move that to the next meeting also.
Is there a secretary for this meeting?
That's, we need to do that. It's the agenda.
Casey McFall.
Woohoo! Yay!
Welcome.
And there was light.
Sorry,
okay.
Folks.
Okay.
With the crazy mayor of Glendale. sorry.
Okay, well, good.
I was just asking if we had a secretary for this meeting. You just walked in the door at the perfect moment.
Okay, so here we are. We've gone to roll call, and it's the people who are here are Brian, Winey, Jane, Baruti, Ambrose, Casey, and David, and I, LaVarne Williams. And we looked at the agenda to ask if there are any changes, revisions, or additions to the agenda. And what we've done is on four, we've added a 4A motion. We're going to discuss the motion on direct to fundraising. 4B, the bylaws, proposed bylaws amendment change on the number of meetings per year. And then 4C is we'll go through the financial impact of motions before the P&B. And I've listed just in general, briefly, what I believe those motions are. It's A, B, C, D. And then next is the financial update on board and meeting expenses, and I believe Liney has sent some information on the 14th on that. And then we're going to do the CFO report. I don't know if that's enough time, but we're trying to limit this to just a little over 2 hours if we can get through and do new business. Okay. So are there any changes, comments? So what we'd like to do is to get into draft network budget. So I guess we need to look at some type of structure on how we would like to do this. Now, I'm still in the process of trying to download the information from Liney. So in terms of proposals, what do we want to do is just, Liney, I need your help on this. Just look at the total and then start looking at each station, or
yeah,
do you want to look at select things
first?
Yeah, I'd like to look at the top part, the consolidated, and then go through each station, if that's okay. That way we see what the overview is, then people could go through each station, then there could be questions on each station.
Okay. Does everyone think that's the best way to do it, or do you have any other...
Could you repeat that, Ronnie?
Well, I'd go through the consolidated, which is the very top part of the budget, and then we would go through each station by station where people could ask questions about each station.
And which file should we be looking at?
We'd be looking at the PF Consolidated FY07 draft budget. Forecast, it says forecast budget draft.
Three or two?
Three is fine. Two, yeah. Three is fine. If you don't, I think we could work with two.
Okay. Does everyone have information before them? Okay. So we'll have Ronnie go perhaps go over and just give like a brief summary in terms of changes, percentage changes, or better, worse than, and then we each one will ask questions about it. Do we want to handle it that way? Okay. Well, why don't you get started, Ronnie? I'm still trying to download, so I'm not really on there yet, but please start.
Okay. Well, you know, I did send an email to folks with, and it had some summary comments and had actually a little summary chart so that you could see how...
Lonnie, just a second. There's some outside noise going on. Hopefully it's not me. So if everyone could mute if you're not seeing at this time. Great. Thank you.
Yeah, I sent along an email that did summarize the 07 draft budgets, and I emphasize that they are drafts, and it's sort of what stations have been able to budget at this point. And as you all recall from our timetable, we Finance Committee will get the draft budgets back around the middle of August after the LSBs have looked at it. Then I will redo all the budgets with the input, I guess, from the LSBs. And then there will be a final look for the Finance Committee. You'll have 2 weeks to look at it, the budget with the LSB input. So between somewhere around the 15th of August to the end of August, we'll have these budgets again. So, again, this is just the first draft. As we look at 07, of course, it's very different than 06. On projection 06, we were able to project $1.1 million. But 07, at this point, we're only able to project a $700,000 surplus, 709 to be exact. And the reasons are that stations aren't as comfortable projecting as much revenue. These drives have been difficult for several stations. And next year, of course, there are new expenses. Now, the expenses that impacted, the factors that impact 07, I just may lay them out for you. The first is
just a second.
Reduced
Ronnie.
Revenue.
Ronnie? Still hear it. I'm hearing like lots of really background noise. And or some, are you inside?
I'm inside, yeah, but
noise going on. Can everyone mute again, please, while line is open? There. Still there.
Is that better?
There's some, no, plus there's some movement of paper, too.
Some papers, too.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that there's a major factor that influences the FY07 budget. I was comparing it to FY06 thing, and FY06 will end with about $1.1 million. But what we have on paper for 07 is only about $700,000. And the factors that have influenced that, as far as I can tell, is reduced revenue, that is to say the revenue that stations are able to produce or project comfortably is less. And we see that that part of it is just conservatism. The other part of it is that there are new expenses in 07. The union salaries are up in 07. We have some projections on the cost of Spanish language programming. We have some projections on the cost of free speech radio news. Those negotiations start tomorrow night. And we have projections on the cost of national programming. and, you know, line item expenses, supplies, telephone, health insurance. They, health insurance usually goes up by double digits, 10% or so. So those are major factors in 07. So right now, we need 1 month for each station. That's what has been board policy. Right now, we have 700,000, only about half of what we need. Looking at each station, just on summer before we go to the detail, I won't go to the detail, I'll just give a quick summary of the stations, then we can go to them in each detail. PRA does have about $30,000 if they're able to budget as a surplus. National Office currently has a deficit of $93,000, and the reasons are less income coming from the stations, I mean less central services, and we'll have to struggle with how to get that deficit down to zero and presumably get to 1 month like everyone else. KPFA is showing a $77,000 surplus in their budget. That's the very latest one. Not quite a, not a month. But
actually,
right now,
the latest
showing.
Was 114.
114 for KPFA?
Yeah, I believe Lois sent you a copy of that on Friday.
Oh, no, I haven't been able to get it in. So I said, yeah, well, let's take 114 as a surplus. Okay, fine. The one I haven't been able to get it. That's the one that had gone out to folks. I think hers came too late for me to include it. KPFK is showing 106,000 as of 3 o'clock Friday or 5 o'clock Friday, and these will change. KPFT is showing 109,000. WBAI 311,000, and WPFW 165,000. Now, there's a critical items that are going on with these numbers that you should be aware of. Some stations were not able to show even a surplus without joining with us in the National Office to do mail drops in September and March. We plan to do two mail drops, one in September of 1 million acquisition pieces and another one in March. And the stations that are impacted are KPFK, you know, KPFT is joining with us on a mail drop. And they would realize $100,000 from the mail drop. A million pieces, they would get $100,000. So of that 109 that I've identified, $100,000 will come from that mail drop. WBAI, they are showing $311,000, but $200,000 would come from the mail drop. And WPFW, their drive is pretty close to the mail drop, so they don't need and will not participate in the mail drop. KPFA is thinking about participating in the mail drop, and we're looking like it may, in fact, happen that they'll participate. KPFK is interested, but they have not put revenue from the mail drop in their budget, so this is their budget as it stands now. But if you take all the budgets and all of the bottom lines, we at Pacifica have not been able to budget not even half a month from most stations. Not to mention the 1 month. And that's going to be the challenge over the next 2 to 3 weeks. I'll be going back to each business manager and general manager and looking again at what expense reduction and or combinations of revenue that could be achieved realistically to move these numbers more toward the 1 month. Finally, if a station, for example, is unable to even reach the 1 month proviso, we on the finance committee would look to see if there was a waiver needed to ask the board to waive that rule for that station. If a station, for example, could not even get to a half month, then we would be looking at an option of asking them to go back and work a little harder on it. We have the option of saying to them, well, you could use savings if the committee felt that was a wise thing to do. Or we could pass the budget with a proviso, as we did last year, that station moves toward in the coming year to get toward the goal of having whatever goal we might set, half a month or a full month. Finally, it's a tough budget, and the drivers, as you all know.
Excuse me, did you say it's a tough budget or a soft budget?
A tough budget, yeah. This is a tough budget year. And I've been here 3 years. We've always had at least $900, you know, or $1 million, or at least very close to it. You still have, for some stations, declining listenership. Some stations have a cost structure that's too high for them, and they'll have to work at reducing those expenses. Some stations, depending on what statistics you like to follow, listener loyalty. Other stations, it's clear, being impacted by the fact that listeners have more choices in terms of how they take or how they participate in radio. And we're being impacted by those trends, too. So the possible silver lining is that it's an election year, and the positive trends are that people really do want to support independent media in an election year. We saw that in 2004, and we're sort of looking to see if that can be repeated on a smaller scale with congressional elections here in 2006. What we found in doing our mail drops is that we do the mailing list of other progressive organizations. What we found is that progressives in this country want to see and will support Pacifica doing national programming that deals with large national issues. They have voted with their dollars, and they've given us, I don't know, close to $2.5 million over the last 3 years for those purposes. So that's why the mail drop, which would go out to those same progressive organizations and ask again for them to support national programming around in this election cycle that is educational, informative, provides alternative points of view, and raises local and community voices to a national level. So that's sort of what's in the budget, sort of some of the intent behind it, and some of the stresses that that I can see are on these numbers. Okay.
Brian here?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Go ahead.
Lonnie, this is kind of a wish list item because I know you're plenty busy. But given the reliance you've just described at the local and national level on direct mail campaigns last year, one piece of supplemental information I'd like to see in the budgeting process is direct mail spreadsheets. Sure, we all know there's huge cash flow issues associated with direct mail drops. So I'd love to see a calendar of when the drops are planned, how many pieces they are, the anticipated response rate, when the returns are expected to come in, whether they're acquisition mailings or using the stations list.
Sure. Sure. Absolutely. That would be, we've been planning for several months. This is, we've done about 7 or 8 of these. So, yes, the difference for this next year is we usually do one a year of 1 million pieces. This year, next year, we're doing 2. One to raise money for the stations, and one the one we normally do to support national operations. But, yes, I'd be happy. We do have the data. We do have spreadsheets showing every mailing that we've done over the last 3 years. I'd be happy to share those with you.
Okay, so the request is that you send to us your spreadsheet that shows the mail drops, when they will happen. And you said you also have the history, so you can send that also. But definitely for the budget, we'd like to see the dates, the times, by station, and also the national office, or in archives, or any mail drops that's done by the foundation for the year. And then if you could send the history, that would be great, too.
Sure.
So when do you think you can send that out?
The history we already have, and I think I can work up something for the planned mail drop in September. I'm in New York for the rest of the week, so I'm back by the end of next week.
Okay, so you'll send them out next week, so we'll know what the amounts are and when to expect that and when that's hitting the P&L.
Yeah, the end of next week.
Okay,
I'm in New York all this week, so I'd have it give me a week to get. The history is already there, of course. But the workup, the other numbers are just a matter of putting it into a spreadsheet. So if you give me toward the middle or end of next week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay. Oh. Okay, other questions?
I want to go to the stations if I could.
I'm sorry?
I'm
looking at this, and the usual question is, I don't see a head count to go with your with the plan. Do you have that?
Well, I don't do the head counts for each station. Each station is different.
No, I'm not asking for each station. I'm talking about for the national office, and that you, I mean, each station does it, so you haven't asked for the head count plan also?
From each station?
Yes.
I, as I recall that motion, each general manager was
mm-hmm.
supposed to produce the head count for each station?
Mm-hmm. But the question is, you're not consolidating that?
And I'm not consolidating head counts for each station. I'm assuming they're doing that with their LSPs.
Mm-hmm. For now, what about the national office? Do you have a head count plan and archive?
I do. I can give you some numbers, but I'll have to. This will be current or ones that are proposed in the budget. Which one are you thinking?
Well, both would be good, but since we're talking about the budget, I'd like to see the head count plan for the budget. For 2007 from the national office.
Yeah, I'll do that. I'll have to consult with Greg to see what his final decision is on one or two positions.
Mm-hmm.
I'll send it out the next with the other material at the end of next week, so the middle or end of next week.
Yeah, I don't mean to be impertinent, but when you did your salaries, don't you? I mean, you just have totals. You don't have it by position. You just have total numbers, or how do you do that?
Well,
salaries for the national office.
For the national office, I can send you a roster.
Oh, and so that's how you do the plan? Those things we can talk about. I'm really looking at the plan. I would like to see, by month, the headcount by position, and see the what you expect the ending in September of 2006, what the headcount will be, and if there are any increases or decreases.
Yeah, I can do that. We can take that right off our payroll. But next year's headcount?
Mm-hmm.
It's not done yet. It's still in process. And Greg's back on the 24th. And he has to make some decisions about what he wants to do about one or two positions. And that is not yet settled.
So it kind of goes back to my question again. How do you do salaries if you don't know what the headcount is? You just have, potential in there and you cover that?
Well, at this point, with our deficit of $90,000
mm-hmm.
up in the air, that is, it is indeed an issue, and it's sort of personnel issues at this point.
So the $90,000 deficit, I mean, just generally, so is that like headcount that you expect to stay the same as in your ending headcount in 2006?
I don't know. It depends on how decisions around how we deal with the $90,000 deficit are actually handled. Hours might get reduced, some positions might go part-time. Some may be added. Greg's got to make up his mind on a couple of these issues. And right now, he's away,
mm-hmm.
and I don't have a final answer. I have a final answer, of course, on what we look like September 6th, but not for 2020.
That's fine. We'll just discuss it when we get to the national office. So do we want to proceed going ahead with the safety station?
Levon?
This is
Rudy.
Please.
I'm...
Levon?
Yeah.
When we get to the national office, I'll tell you who's in that current hit, what positions are in that current headcount. Yes.
Okay, well, when we get there. But Rudy, did you have a question?
Yes, it's on the headcount issue. One of the problems that I had last year, I don't know if the other treasurers encountered this, was that I couldn't get detailed payroll information. I was told that potential. So I guess I'm sort of asking Monty to communicate at least to the folks at BAI that the treasurer can see, basically what's behind that salary line, that lump sum salary line. I can get a feel and, get a feel as to what's in there relative to what's in there from the prior year. So, I don't know if the other treasurers had any difficulty getting the details behind the numbers in terms of salary, but I know I did.
Okay, well, for KPFA, we got all of the information by name, by position, for each month. So there was, everything was given to the LSB. That was for A. So BAI did not get it. What about K? Did you have the information? By position, salaries, by name?
KPFK has not even seen the budget yet.
Okay. And last year, did you get the salary information, personnel information, salary by name, by position?
No.
Okay. So Kay didn't get it. BAI did not receive it. What about Jane?
Yes, we got all the details. We got all the information. This year's budget, we have not seen, our LSV has not seen this budget yet. This is the first time I've seen it.
Yeah, they didn't finish it until Wednesday, Jane.
I know.
Okay, Brian can say, yeah, we have seen our budget, and with including the headcount and salary.
But last year, it definitely made a big difference. It was very helpful that people could see the details, and I think that that should.
Okay, we're going to have to work with T to get someone for finance on the line, and also I think to try to get in contact with Sandra, and then she would be able to. If someone is online, can you just send Sandra an email? If someone has her number, we could call her. And that would be good. Okay. So when Kay has not received the budget yet, and neither has W. Okay. And BAI, Baruti, have you seen a budget yet?
Yes. Yes. We've seen the budget. Yes.
Okay. Great. Okay. So the only one that's missing is KPFT. Okay. Do we want to proceed?
Yeah. If I could. Just talk a little bit about each station, then take questions on it, if that's okay?
Yeah, that sounds good.
This is Jane.
I have the KPFA.
Excuse me just a second. Jane?
The point that Baruti raised, should we do anything to try to make sure that happens, or is this simply bringing up the concern to the CFO adequate to make sure that...
I'm there Wednesday in New York.
Okay.
And And I think I have the detail of Rudy anyway. From
oh, okay.
The
okay.
only thing is the issue of confidentiality, of course, is stressing this information is confidential, should not be shared.
Right, yeah. Right. No, I wasn't going to share it with our local finance committee, but I just wanted to see it, and I'm assuming that the LSB members can see it also. So
I have it, and I can share
okay.
it.
Okay, thank you, Lonnie.
Okay. So,
okay.
Do you want to get started?
Yeah, this is some of the real other issues that are station related, but also are troublesome. Let me just do a quick two or three points on KPFA, and then we can maybe have a discussion on KPFA. As you notice, that bottom line is 116 or 77. Brian says 116. Sure. But their monthly expenses are in the area of $300,000 $350,000. And, of course, KPFA does have some savings that they can draw upon if they need to, in September, make those monthly payments for the following month of September. Another issue that does affect the station, I believe, and they're in the process of trying to look at it, is there's some work that needs to be done on the foundation of the building where there's some water leaks. Last winter, during the rainy season, water was evident in the building, 2-3 inches of it. And they've been in the process of getting an assessment on what the foundation cost might be in order to fix the situation. And their estimates, I know we did this two, maybe three years ago as well when those leaks were first noticed. So the estimate around that is anywhere from 75 to 150 or 200,000. They should know. We do have some money in the budget around the capital improvements, and that money is in the area of 70,000. At least 48,000 is in this budget. No, I say 70 and 48. One is for equipment reserve, as you can see, it will be $72,000. But then capital improvements is $48,000. I suppose some parts of both those funds could be used. But if it were to exceed those estimates, then KPFA would have to find the funds to do it. And as I say, it can range. No one knows what the final cost will be. The other area is that the union contract for KPFA is up on September 30th. And, of course, we will start negotiations before then. But that will possibly include new costs around staffing, union staff. Last of all, there is a legal ample in the budget for legal contingency, and you can see it there as well. So what's the prognosis? I do believe that KPFA will likely have to dip into their savings. They do have some gifts that they've received. One of them is a cash gift, and that is taken into consideration in the FY06, assuming it comes in FY06, so it's not in FY07. But one is not a cash gift, and it's a restricted fund and to be used for restricted purposes. So part of it is cash and part of it is not. What would be my best guess? Best guess, talking with Lim and Lois, is they'll likely have to dip into their savings and or whatever funds that may come through from the gift for about $200,000 to $300,000. This would be my best estimate. If you add all of these factors up, what is the minimum I think that they'll likely have to use? It's about $300,000. They have an estimated $800,000 or $900,000. So it's about a third of what they might be, in fact, holding in the way of savings. So that's a quick issue roundup on KPFA.
I'm sorry, but Lonnie, are you saying we would tap that to cover a short-term cash flow issue or that we would draw down our cash reserves?
Well, if the foundation issue is costly, say it comes in at $150,000 or even $200,000, it wouldn't be cash flow. That would be an expense. If the $116,000 is all that really is available at September 30th, you would solve it as a cash flow issue to get you through September. And so that would be a cash flow and a temporary drawdown. However, you know, if you had a bad drive, then of course it wouldn't be temporary at some point during the year because you would end up having to use some funds you hadn't anticipated on using. If the union contract is higher than anticipated or there's a retro of some sort, that would be permanent use of the funds. And it could be made up by, you know, reduced expenses over the next year or entire, you know, drive that is better than anticipated. But I still think the range for use of cash that would not be likely paid back is between $200,000 and $300,000.
This is Dave?
Yeah, sure. Dave?
Yeah. So in looking at the budget, we've talked about the income side, but we've had this discussion before about whether stations have any available resources to try and invest in providing new services that might get them new revenues eventually.
Yeah.
And are there, you know, when I look at the income at A, not counting what you just said, it looks like it's pretty flat there. In fact, it looks like it's absolutely flat in terms of what's being projected at 4.76. And so I'm wondering, is there in the expenditure side of that budget, is there anything in there that's about expanding services through, for example, web initiatives or any kind of projects or anything at all that speaks to expansion of service in terms of the way they're spending the money, or is it just a holding pattern budget?
Well, that's a good question.
I can jump on that if you liked.
Yeah, go ahead. You got something, Brian?
Well, there's money for digital conversion in the project at the transmitter site in the budget. There's a small amount in the capital budget for renovating an empty building we own next to our own. Wouldn't be the full cost of renovation, but it would be the cost of getting it started. In terms of the staffing structure, not too much change. But I think, you know, the point of the flat revenues you're looking at, Dave, is that the business office is trying to project conservatively, which I think is
sure, very
prudent. And I would point out, just correct a couple things Lonnie said. There's a contingency in the budget already for union negotiations. That's another contingency of $40,000.
No, actually, it's not computed in the total. It's notated, but it's not part of the total.
Oh, really?
No,
yeah.
You couldn't put it in there for obvious reasons. You wouldn't tell a union how much you had for them. And anyway, so. And it's not a large sum, so.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not part of the total.
Okay. Question.
Is there money in the renovation of the building to cover the fire hazard with the people upstairs with no dual egress?
Oh, yeah, I remember. You remember that, Ambrose?
Oh, yes.
actually not. Yeah, rehabbing that building in terms of, you know, one thing that all stations might be aware of, too, is we do have an ADA consultant who will be visiting all stations and will likely have some recommendations. And Ambrose is referring to a situation where the second story of second floor of the building we inhabit doesn't have any way to get out in case of a fire. And so if there's a building inspection or even an ADA recommendation, there might be an expense involved. See, I don't have an estimate on the egress issue. Those are foundation issues where they apparently didn't put it there because some of the supports for the building would be compromised.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one of the reasons initially, at least, the building inspector didn't press it. But, you know, new building inspector, new year, you never know what they're going to come up with.
This is Lauren. Are we considering a capital campaign for 07 to address a lot of these issues with the facilities that we have? For example, when you talk about the foundation work for KPFA and the flooding, you were saying about 3 years ago, the flooding issue has been there from the very start because the buildings, we believe, and like in Berkeley, in the hill area there, on all areas, there are creeks that run underneath the Berkeley. And the belief is that there is one that runs right underneath the building there. So, again, this has been an issue from the very start. I've had the flooding usually in the building there in the room there in the back. So there's always been flooding. But so, again, you know, should we, you know, make a commitment? I mean, maybe we can start with the Finance Committee to do a capital campaign and start that effort. I know we don't have a development director, so when we look at the national office in terms of the headcount, that would be one position that... that certainly would be very useful in terms of starting that type of activity. So, again, have you considered that, or has you and the EDC considered a capital campaign for 07 to address a lot of these capital issues, not only at A, but I'm sure at K and KPFT also, and not to mention BAI, the whole move, potential move there?
Well, you know, thanks for bringing that up. The answer is yes. You know, WPFW needs to move. It's got a lease, but they're going to launch a capital campaign. WBI needs to move, and one of the things I'll be looking at this week is trying to move that along. Despite whatever else goes on, we need to focus on those large issues. With KPFA, I did talk with Lim Lim, and one of the ways in which we thought we could raise dollars fairly quickly was with the Win a Mail Drop collaboration. And so that's one of the motivations for the mail drop. If money's come in, and we're saying that we'll split 50-50 with the stations, money can come in through that mail drop so that every station can build up some needs to, even though a capital campaign might cost some money to get started. But yes, that's one of the positions, too, and that I was talking about earlier about what kind of money do we have in the national office. The fund position that might be helpful to the station. And the fund development position is one that you just mentioned. But the second way of looking at it was, how much money can we raise in 2 months, in this case in September, where funds could be made immediately available to stations in the early part of the fiscal. And this is one way we're hoping we can do that, is to do a mail drop and share the money so that stations will have, some cases, budgeted funds, but even those that haven't participated, we want to share as much as we can.
Okay, so let me just clarify what I think I heard. You're saying on the mail drops that the national office plan to do, that you will share that 50-50 with the stations, I guess, based on what zip code, or how do you plan to do that?
Well, first one would be stations that need the money the most, okay? And we've made a commitment to them in the budget that is, some stations absolutely need those funds. And that would be WBAI and KPFT. So we've made a commitment that money's from the mail drop, $200,000 in case of WBAI, $100,000 in case of KPFT, would go to them from the mail drop proceeds, assuming, of course, that those monies are available. And then other stations who are not participating, and I think Lim Lim wants to participate. She's trying to work out some timing issues. But she's agreed to do it, that we would say if the foundation were to be a problem, we'd try to have mail drop monies, the monies go to KPFA if that was a need, and a, you know, immediate need. And we would share whatever the fund drive monies would produce. As far as those monies would go, yeah, that's the idea. The idea is to collaborate with the stations. First of all, I think we've tried it. We promote the mail drop where Pacifica is producing national programs. And the national programming could be would come through, of course, the stations as well. So the stations could say that they're going to have national programming and we can include capital campaign monies as well for building infrastructure in Pacifica. We're hoping that listeners, that is, people who maybe even not listeners, some other progressive organizations, will support the programming plan for Pacifica as well as infrastructure needs.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the amount that you said you would, that you said T would get about $100K in this mail drop, and how much for BAI?
$200,000. Yeah.
Okay, and then the other question you said, if Lim Lim, who's the interim, Lim Lim Regio, who's the interim general manager at KPFA, you said if she chooses to participate, what does that mean?
Well, if she were to participate.
Participate high. What does the participation mean? You mean in terms of going at our current listener base, or what do you mean?
Well, no, actually, we're trying not to do that. But some stations actually want to do that. But participation here means that a given station, this is KAT, and T is very supportive, actually. They would do carts announcing Pacifica's mail drop to produce revenue for covering this critical congressional election period. And that's what we would be promising subscribers to progressive organizations. That was what we would do with part of those funds. And we would also be promising to expand Pacifica's base and infrastructure in order to strengthen independent media, its capacity to participate in independent media movement in the country. So those two things. The station's participation would be that they would do a cart announcing that the mail drop's coming, alerting people to the fact it's coming there, and urging people to participate and support national programming in Pacifica. That's the way in which we're sort of working it out. And some stations are saying, we'd be happy to do that, put the cart there, and we'll announce our drive as well, and so that you know, Pacifica's working together, the station and the national office as a unit.
Okay, thank you. There's one other thing. You talked about KPFA in terms of their starting cash position, and that we have two major donor gifts, including one that's restricted and one that's not, and the one that is not, I'm not sure, we haven't received that correct, so that wouldn't be part of our cash reserves at this time. But, you know, I can't recall, but you can let me know for sure, Liney. Did we ever do a policy on when we say that you have to have 1 month reserve? Like currently at 900K, KPFA has a 300. I mean, I'm sorry, has a 3 month reserve. Plus, you know, we're expecting, I think at the end of the year, I have to find it here, some positive cash flow, I believe. So again, you know, I think we just need a policy when we say we need, you know, 1 month reserve. I think KPFA has gone beyond that. And then the requirement to do another, you know, to maintain another month, to create a month in the budget for 07, then that will be 4 months. So I think we just need a policy to say, you know, what is the reserve requirement, and versus, you know, what's already there versus trying to maintain or create an additional month when we're beyond, we're past the requirement of 1 month reserve.
This is Dave.
Dave, go ahead.
Yeah, a couple things. First, I'm going to address this, but I've been waiting to go back and try and finish up the point I made earlier, which to my wasn't finished. We veered off with several other questions, so I do want to go back to that. But on this point, it's been this continual, going around and around, and it's related largely, I think, to terminology, which is, I believe, what is intended by what's being called the reserve is actually the surplus, i.e. the bottom line of each station's budget. And there were differences of opinion about whether the motion as it was originally passed was a mandate to because it was ambiguous, basically, for there to be a one-month surplus or an amount equal to 1 month surplus, 1 month operating expenses as your annual surplus in the bottom line versus reserves, which I use it the way you just used it, LaVarne. It's what you have sitting there in the bank. That's your reserves. But those two things have been sort of mixed together. And at one point, I think the first step is something that at least I seem to remember talking to Baruti about, which is a definition of terms of what a reserve is and what a surplus is, which will let us talk about it in a way that doesn't keep us going around and around the post. But long story short, the board last year was not willing to, or I forget whether it was the finance committee and then the board or whatever, was not willing to say the policy is a 1 month in the bank, and it was willing to allow stand this idea that it was a 1 month quantity in your bottom line. Now, it's a mess, and I wish we could get to the point where we were very direct about it, but we've spent an awful lot of time on this, and as far as I understand now, the way we're doing it is we're asking for the bottom line to reflect a 1 month operating expense surplus, and as Lonnie said, some stations may want to achieve that by including money from existing reserves. And this question of a waiver is a whole other thing because, really the waiver happens when the board either votes up or down a given budget. We've not practiced the formal waiver that I've seen since I've been on the board. But anyhow, with that, I would like, when we're done with this question, to come back to the question I tried to pose earlier.
Okay, Lonnie? Do you have a...
Another way of looking at it is if a station, for example, ends the fiscal year with, let's just take a, dramatic example, with a deficit of $100,000, that station might want to go into its savings or its reserves in order to pay the bills for that very next month of October. What I'm suggesting here is that any station wishing to use those reserves should get approval from this committee and the board to do so. That's another way of looking at it. Because those reserves are from prior years, and they are part of the assets of the network.
Just a second. If Lonnie can finish, go ahead, please.
That's another way of looking at it. And if a station, for example, does not have adequate operating revenues at the end of the year, they may very well need to look to their reserves or their savings or whatever we want to call it. But I think that this committee ought to, and the board, ought to state that cannot be done automatically and needs approval because it is spending the assets of the network from prior years. And the way I look at it as a finance person is if you've got, 3 months in reserves and have this network after 57 years of operation, has only 2 or 3 months in reserve, this is a very thin margin for an individual, not to mention a network, to have only 2 or 3 months in the bank after 57 years in business. So you do want to be very careful about how they're used.
Okay. Dave, do you want to address the reserves? Just a second. Or Jane, did you want to talk about the reserves?
I did.
You did?
Yes.
Okay. Dave,
I'll go very quickly. No, okay, go ahead, Jane.
No, I just wanted to speak in favor of the suggestion that Lonnie made, which is that, I agree with the points that Dave's bringing up. I think we need some definitions, and we need a lot. We need, for example, our income and expense categories. A lot of us remain confused about them on a local level and perhaps on a national level. But the idea that every year we budget to take in a little bit more than we spend, I have the distinct impression that's a good goal. And the idea that we should have to specifically approve the expenditure of reserves, it sounds logical to me. So I just simply want to speak in favor of, number one, getting our definitions at some point in the future. I don't think we have time to get it before this year's budget, and I hope we don't waste time with it. We know now we know pretty clearly the difference between the idea of the reserves versus whatever other word you want to come up with. But it sounds like Lonnie is proposing something pretty understandable, which is that we should approve the expenditure of the reserves on the station level. And yeah. I think you all understand what that means.
Yeah. Can I?
Okay. Ed, we're going to take an action out of this that we need to really go in and really.
Could I speak? Next on
go ahead.
The stack.
Thanks.
Yeah, just to be real clear, we already have to approve any expenditure of reserves. So it's not something that's being suggested or that we need to approve or anything. That's what happens when we approve the budget. We approve those things. Secondly, I agree completely with Lonnie about the process. You know, this committee does have to recommend to the board whether or not to accept budgets that propose inclusion of those funds. That's what the budget process is. I disagree with Jane that it's complex or something we can't do by the end of the year. We can have a very simple definition of reserve based on the lines in the balance sheet, which is a ratio of cash in the bank or a calculation based on cash in the bank, immediate payables and immediate receivables as of the close of the end of the year. That could be called your reserve, and your surplus is what's in the bottom line. I also agree that it's unwise to have just 1 month in the bank as a reserve based on your prior year or your accumulated money from prior years. But that's different than saying that every year your standard is to generate an additional month surplus. But, you know, the reality of it is, I think there comes a point at which, for example, once you got to 3 years or 3 months or 4 months in the bank, you might want to start talking about spending some of those money on some investments in new services that would bring new revenues. So, you know, there's no contradiction here in my view between what we're saying under at the bottom, which is, yes, we need to build up stores of reserves for just such things like these unforeseen capital expenses or other disasters. And I don't want to fight this old issue, which we've gone around the post on for now 3 years, about whether we call it 1 month or not. Where the rubber meets the road is in what this committee recommends in terms of bottom lines and inclusion of reserves to the national board in the budget approval process. And I'll just say that I think there should be a staggered plan to build up much more than 1 month as a reserve, not as a surplus in the income statement or budget, but as a reserve. But simultaneously, we need to be allocating funds for investment. And that brings me back to the question that I asked about KPFA, because what Brian said, notwithstanding, about, you know, digital conversion and whatnot, to me what I was intending by it was that the station is going to do something different in the way it provides services, for example, training beyond what it might do, or other kinds of things. The question is life in the station this year and the activities of personnel in the station this year going to have anything added to it beyond what existed previously? And that's the other part of the question that I didn't really feel was answered ultimately.